Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe, we back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang. Mac.
There it is.
Hi.
All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one geek and gaming podcast, as voted on by the people at Podcast Monthly. We bumped up from quarterly to monthly, guys.
Wow,
we're moving
nice.
Up. We're moving up. It. It's those 5-star reviews that we're getting on iTunes.
You're going to get us sued.
Maybe, but I've been watching a lot of Suits, so.
That doesn't mean anything.
Hey, the main character doesn't have a law degree.
He's also
going to
get sued.
We have Emma Skies on the show, everybody. What's going on, Emma?
I'm good. I'm sweating all over the place because it is the California State Fair and it's really, really hot outside.
And you ate a corn dog.
I did.
I ate a jumbo corn dog.
Whoa.
A jumbo. Did I not say that we're live from the California State Fair? Because if not, we are.
Yes.
We're live from the California State Fair, everybody.
Yep, live from the moon.
And in the esports exhibit, Emma had a corn dog. She had a giant corn dog.
I did.
I had a corn dog. I had a normal sized corn dog.
It took 10 times longer than mine to make.
And it was 10 times better. And I knew where the meat was sourced from.
No, you didn't.
I did. It was from
no,
Hot Dog
don't.
On a Stick. It's
you
reputable.
Don't.
They have mall stores, Emma.
It's horse meat. You're eating
we
horse
also
meat.
Oh, God. We also have Corey Vincent on the show, everybody.
What's up, pizzas?
Back from, he's a baseball fan now, guys.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure.
Good thing we're not sponsored by the Giants.
No, yeah. I got to hang out with the Giants with some of our e-athletes, our gamers.
E-athletes?
E-athletes.
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't know.
Please tell me that's not a real world.
Professional gamers. Professional gamers.
I call them e-athletes.
You know, yeah. that sounds like an STD for your foot. I don't know why. That reminds me of athlete's foot.
Got e-athlete? Try this.
Yeah, so we got to hang out there. People of the Giants were super accommodating, man. They were nice. And then I got to go watch the game from what they call the cloud booth.
Ooh.
And I guess like the owner was in there and there was lobster rolls.
Damn. Well, aren't you special?
You can't go to a regular baseball game.
No, and yeah, exactly. No,
you'd
the
be
seats
like a
were
peasant
heated.
Down in the seats.
Yeah.
Why is it heated? It's summer.
Because your tushy gets cold. I don't know. I don't know. I just assume everything was just baseball stuff. I don't know. It was all brand new to me.
It's just baseball stuff.
I need peanuts. I need a hot dog. Yep. I need Cracker Jacks.
I was glad they actually played that song. Like I thought that was a myth.
Yeah, they
take me out to the ball. Yeah,
oh,
they
let's
really
not.
Do that
let's
stuff.
Not do this. Let's not. Curtis, how you doing?
Curtis,
save us all.
Fisher is on the show, everybody.
I'm here. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Are you a baseball fan?
Not exactly.
No. You could say no. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, like I'll put it to you like this: I'm a River Cats fan, and
hey,
I'm
an A's.
I'm an Athletics fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh,
wait.
So we're rivals now.
Yes,
well,
we
hang
are.
On.
Yeah.
Are you an A's fan because they River Cats feed in your A's?
River Cats feed the Giants.
Now they feed the Giants.
They used to feed the A's. Nah,
yeah.
I'm a A's fan because that's the fan that my uncle was when I got the OG A's jacket, like the starter jacket at home right now with
nice.
Like crusty buttons on it and everything.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Why don't they just be friends? Like they're from the same area. Like just be friends.
Because that's whack.
So no, is anybody from Corey. Oakland friendly?
I don't know. Truth. Why does everybody got to be fighting? You know, why can't it just be peaceful?
Why can't we
no.
be
Sacramento
no.
Kings, the why Lakers. Let's just be friends, guys.
I will. Why I have the whole setup this time. I will turn your mic off.
And
the best part is I don't know what button it is, so I'll turn everything off.
She will blow up the stream. We're sponsored by Energy Esports. Speaking of Jackets activations,
yep.
Mainframe USA, Vast GG, and Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. And unofficially for today, we are sponsored by. Help me out with the name. Is it Taboo?
Taboo.
Taboo.
Taboo Ohana.
Do you not know how to read the word taboo?
It's the oblongs.
Oblongs?
Is what threw me. The two dots.
The umlaut?
Yeah. Taboo Ohana chairs. Stupid comfortable. Emma found a chair that she can actually fit in.
A little bit. My 100% main complaint with all of these gamer chairs, every time I sit down, is this isn't made for a woman.
And that one is.
And this one feels much more my size, and I'm happy about it.
If you're not watching us on twitch.tv/videogame_bang, then you can't see the fact that mine has an airplane pillow.
Yeah. No, these guys have been here out here like all week, and we have been too. And so we get the chance to like hang out and talk to these guys. So cool that they're locally made here
in
Sacramento.
That's awesome. I love that.
Got to support those locals, man.
All right, guys. So we're coming from the California State Fair esports exhibit. You guys got to come out. We got a few more days left in the fair. They got Fortnite tournaments. They have what's the other game that they're playing?
Smash Bros tournaments.
Yep. Yeah,
they had
come
some
out.
Rocket League going down.
Rocket League. Shock was here.
The Shock
Energy
was here.
Yep.
But
we're here to talk about video game news.
It is Wednesday.
Wednesday
is the day that we talk about news stories. So we're going to start with one that I feel
It's telling the news.
That's not any better when it's you guys doing it, and I hate all of you, and I hate this.
You're welcome.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about my least favorite thing in the world, which is Fortnite.
Yeah.
You can't say that, Emma. You can't say that here. These are all Fortnite fans.
I don't care. I hate Fortnite.
They're going to build a fort around you.
I don't care.
This would be a good story for you,
then. I feel like this is the beginning of a good story for me, but also it's not. So basically, the long and short of it. So interest in Fortnite is starting to decline, and it's starting to be noticeable. And it's starting to affect other things. So we've kind of hit a point right now where it's still everywhere, it's still like the big thing, it's still the game, but people are spending significantly less money on it this year than they were last year.
Okay, so this is year to date.
Yes. So according to a report from Super Data, so Fortnite's revenue fell 48% in January month over month.
Dang.
Which is like they're still making a crap ton of money. But that's a big drop.
It's one less Starbucks a week for them.
Like, that's the amount of growth they had was just not sustainable. I think we all knew this was going to come at this point. So that was kind of month to month. Over year to year, I think May had 38% less revenue than the year before it. And I'm just like, I want this to be a good thing, and I want this to be the decline where I can, like, if I can get to a point where I never have to speak about Fortnite again, I'm here for it.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
It's going to be like, Corey, you were saying earlier.
It's
like going to
take a few years. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen now. It actually, like, it's starting to lose viewers on Twitch. So Q2 on Twitch, Epic, I guess technically, with all of their games, is no longer the most viewed publisher on Twitch. It went back to Riot for League of Legends.
Things might pick up, though, because they are smack dab in the middle of the Fortnite World Cup right now. That's going to be going on this weekend here. And it's going to be the largest prize pool. I mean,
how dare they call it a World Cup?
This is one they've been building to for a long time. They've had like qualifiers over the last 3 months, and it's all culminating in a LAN that's going on in New York.
And to be fair, I am one of those people. I'll admit it, that if there's a tournament going on, I want to play the game that the tournament's on.
Yeah.
So like if I watch Overwatch League for like a day, and I'm like, oh snap, I'm gonna jump into Overwatch, play some comp, and I play it, I'm like, nah.
You realize, oh, I can't play like those guys. Like, it looks really exciting when they play because they're
really
all
exciting.
Good. And then I play it, and it doesn't look like that.
David's coming down the middle. He goes, oh, he whiffed it. It's not as fun as watching somebody else.
Fortnite, it's crossed over. Unfortunately, it's going to be a part of our lives forever. It's going to be.
Don't say that.
It is. I'm sorry. It's like Mario Brothers.
I give it
like
5 years.
No.
I give it 5 years.
I think, okay, 5 years from now. Hey, Siri. Remind me in 5 years if Fortnite is popular so I could rub it in Emma's face. We got the reminder.
Everybody who has an iPhone right now, just activated their Siri.
5 years from now, when this show tailspins into a fiery wreckage, she's going to get a random text message from me.
I told you. That guy over there is going to get a reminder on his phone now, too, because you said, hey, Siri, over the loudspeaker.
Oh.
And you just activated everybody in the room, Siri. They're like, 5 years, they're like, why does my phone say Emma?
I will set a reminder for 4 years and 364 days to change my number.
There you go. Curtis, what do you think? Well, how long do you think Fortnite's going to be around?
Is it around forever?
You think we're stuck with it? You think it's going to...
So it's been out for like 3 years now?
Has it really only been 3 years?
I think so. Three or four.
It's been about, yeah, three or four. So, yeah, I'd say another, at least another 2.5, 3.
Yeah.
I just don't see it, man. But look how big Halo still is and how people still talk about it. We got this whole generation.
This is not Halo.
It's way bigger. Yeah, you're right. It's way bigger.
You're a horrible person. This is not Halo.
I swear, as a Halo fan, this game is bigger than Halo.
But it's not sustainable in the way that, like, you're not going to get a new story game every couple years or every few years. Like, it's...
Look how much Halo has tarnished its history. Like, Halo today, it's still wicked popular. This game, it doesn't even have story. They're going to make Fortnite 2 in a few years or whatever. Maybe they won't. Ugh. Look at Minecraft. Minecraft never
like,
did.
Right. That's what true. Is it? What are you going to do with a sequel?
Yeah.
Don't even say the words Fortnite 2 to me.
This might be what you're about to talk about. What concerns me, or not concerns me, but what has me questioning is the next line of the story is that it's affecting Microsoft.
Yeah. So I'm curious if we're getting to a point where Fortnite is going to be, for lack of a better term, too big to fail. Where if it goes down, it's taken other things with it. So as its revenue is declining, Microsoft had a good year. Their fiscal report for 2018 came out, and still, you know, it was a good year for them. But there is a blip on their radar where their game sales went down, or their games revenue went down 10%. And
are they correlating that to Fortnite?
They are not. They didn't say anything about that. So basically what it came down to is that hardware sales are down 45%, which was not a surprise. The Xbox One's been out for 6 years. The next gen is coming. Nobody's buying, you know, an Xbox right now. That was expected. Software and services are down 3%, which was a surprise. But they're attributing some of their losses to an unidentified third-party game. And there's a lot of speculation that unidentified third party is Fortnite.
Yeah, it probably is.
And so the more money Fortnite loses, the more money all these other companies are going to start losing.
Rising tide lifts all the boats? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
That's the thing people say?
Yeah, I think
you nailed that.
Thanks.
I mean, the delivery could have been better, but yes, the general gist was there.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
But yeah, so it's starting to go down, but there's a potential it could take other things with it. We'll see how it plays out in the long run. I mean, I don't think a single game is not going to take out a company, but I mean, it can hurt it.
Yeah, it can hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But watch, it's still going to be the most dressed up thing for Halloween coming up this, like, it's still just a cultural phenomenon with kids.
It is.
People with kids, Curtis, you got kids. They play games too. They don't play Fortnite in particular, but do they talk about it? Or are they aware of like what's happening in the game?
Yeah, of course, because so many people at their school got Fortnite backpacks and Fortnite hats and jackets and all that stuff. So a lot of people at their school play it. They're not the Fortnite playing, Minecraft playing kids. They're the Roblox kids. So all my kids play Roblox.
Yeah, Roblox.
Yeah, and they watch, you know, Roblox content, you know, on YouTube and all that stuff.
But you know how it is on the schoolyard. Like, as long as there's a group into it, you're aware vaguely of what it is, and you can kind of still talk the lingo. So it's like in kid culture.
They're highly aware of it. I mean, they come home and talk to me about it. Like, oh, you know, kids and this and that. They talk about Fortnite, but they don't play it. So they only, it's their awareness more than their interest.
It may fade away for a little bit, but then it's just always going to be that game whenever you're talking to somebody, you know, you meet down the road and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I play video games. Yeah, I played a lot of Fortnite when I was a kid. It's just going to be that game. Oh, yeah, I got a pinata tattoo on my arm. You know,
oh my
like
God.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Speaking of the pinata, they got pinata stuffed animals here at the fair that you can win. I saw some guy walking around.
Yeah, I saw those, too.
I hate it.
I want the Jigglypuff, though. David, will you win me a Jigglypuff?
You know it.
Thanks, babe.
Next? I'll win me a Jigglypuff. Speaking of Microsoft, we're gonna stay with Microsoft. We've got some new Sea of Thieves updates coming. So I guess there was just an update recently, and I had no idea about it. I honestly don't know what was in it. I'm terrible. But they've been talking about, obviously, Sea of Thieves needs to continue to make money. All of the updates up to this point have been free, Which is good because it's not like they're not throwing like a little thing in here and there. Like they have massively changed the game over the last like year and a half.
Yeah.
They've done a lot and it's all been free for the players, which is great. They're going to start introducing microtransactions into Sea of Thieves.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, this is unheard of.
The dreaded microtransactions.
Video game company's going to try and make money on a struggling game?
So the good thing is, so I was reading the PC Gamer article on it, and they basically said that Rare's philosophy on microtransactions is that, quote, they shouldn't give players a power advantage. People should know exactly what they're getting, so no loot boxes. And the player base should not be split up. So basically, you're not going to have a player base that can afford things and has better equipment and can win fights because they can afford to buy things like whatever they're going to sell, and then people who can't.
Okay, that's
so they want to keep it strictly cosmetics, things that aren't going to change the game. They're bringing in pets, so you can have like a little cool. Parrot. Snap. Your pirate can have a parrot on his shoulder.
What kind of pet? Okay, so obviously it's going to be a parrot.
I only saw the picture they provided. I only saw a parrot. I'm sure there will be other ones. I want a shark. Do you think you can get a pet shark and it just like follows your ship around?
That would be sick. I was wondering about this game. Now, when's the last time anybody in here played it?
A couple weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Is it just legendary pirates everywhere now?
No. I don't think I've ever seen one.
That's a lot. There's still a lot of newbie people.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever run into a legendary.
I just figure the people still playing it now would have to have been grinding the game for a long time.
No, there's a lot of people that, like, they'll come in and they've only, like, they play casually like we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want an ocelot?
I want an ocelot.
Maybe he'll get one. They're going to sell pets, emotes, and ship cosmetics.
Are you guys buying any of this shit?
No.
Okay. I got the one ship cosmetic that I wanted, which was the Master Chief.
Exactly. That's all I wanted. Yeah. That was all I wanted.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, no. I think it's just what happens. This game's probably hitting the end of its life cycle. I don't think it's going to be around too much longer.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of kept. It was never huge. Even in the beginning, I wouldn't have classified it as being like a massive game. But it's held on to a pretty solid player base. And every time they have a new update, there's a big resurgence in people that are playing it. And then it goes down, like most games. I wouldn't say it's at the end. Yeah. I would say it's. I don't even know if it's peaked. It depends on what they put in it. Like if they come out with some. I don't even know what they would put in the game at this point that would like. Take it up to the next level, but
yeah. I think it's gonna be one of those games that's always gonna kind of just be there, and always people are always gonna be playing it off and on, but it's just gonna kind of be there in the background.
Yeah, fair to me.
Speaking of games that are always gonna be there, Overwatch has a new hero.
Let's go.
I thought this might be one that Corey would be interested in, so I put it on the notes.
Let's
Sigma
go,
is the newest Overwatch hero. Yep. He's number 31.
Yep.
Baskin Robbins.
He's OP.
Is it?
I hate the term. I don't know. I feel dumb saying it. But
that tickled my fancy to hear you say OP.
He feels like the definition of OP.
Yeah.
What the heck?
She said it again.
I was just going to wait and see what you did.
This feels kind of weird.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable.
She's turning into a gamer.
I'm uncomfortable with what's happening here. No, did you, have you seen anything about Sigma?
Oh, yeah.
I know you have.
Yeah, I watched. So, Siegel, who's a former Energy player. Really popular streamer still to this day. For his birthday, Jeff Kaplan went to him, or they went together. So him and Papa Jeff were streaming together a never-before-seen look at the character. So they put out a trailer teaser to give
him
a backstory.
Which was awesome.
It was one of the best ones they've
done.
That
was really, really cool.
Yeah.
They always do. It's not the animated shorts. It's more of the picture ones. I almost said moving pictures, but they're all moving pictures.
What do they call those where it's like the... It's like a graphic novel, but movie form, where things are vaguely moving around.
I don't know.
Uncomfortable silence.
What is that
animatic? I don't know.
Something like that.
That sounds
but you get
really
the idea.
Good.
You get the idea. So it's not a cinematic, but it was one of those kind of things. And the voice actor they got for him is really good.
Yeah, insane.
The whole backstory for him, which while we're on it, so I did copy down Blizzard put out about it. They basically said Sigma is a kind and brilliant scientist. He's been irreparably changed by an experiment gone wrong, gaining the ability to manipulate gravity in the process. During the tragic experiment, Sigma sustained serious psychological damage, deemed a threat to humanity, and was locked away for years in a secret government facility, and was eventually freed by Talon and used as a living weapon. So he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a Talon agent who's conflicted. And there's a lot of controversy kind of around it. This is the thing. The internet can't just take an announcement. They always got to look and pinpoint something and get outraged about it, even if it's something small like his bare feet. So there's so much going on the internet of people, screenshotting his feet.
I just need to know why? Why do I have to look at his toes?
Why are people upset about it?
I think it's
I don't think anybody's upset about
no,
it.
No, they are.
Who?
Because
I've just seen people making fun of it.
It started as half meme of like, oh, you know, feet, haha, you know, because whenever D.Va got that one skin where she was wearing flip-flops, everyone started screen capping her feet and stuff. It got really weird. Mm. So right off the jump, Jeff Kaplan on Seagull's stream made like a little joke like, yeah, he hovers, like he levitates, so why does he need shoes?
But and his toesies are going to get cold.
Exactly. That's a good point. You know, they were talking about like Zenyatta's an Omnic and he floats and he wears shoes for some reason. So they thought. But then they started digging into the lore and the stuff that Blizzard was pushing out. And then they started saying, you know, that when you're in a psychiatric ward, they don't give you shoes or shoelaces because you can harm yourself with them.
Yeah.
And so they found somewhere some developer mentioned that they were going for that kind of unhinged, escapee type of look, and that, you know, they figured he wouldn't have shoelaces or whatever, and so then people started twisting it to be have to do with like psychological issues, and now it's about self-harm. So it started as like, it's just stupid internet dumb stuff about,
just give him some socks, I don't want to look at his toes.
That's kind of where I sit with it. Like, I just, I'm not a feet guy.
No, you know what he should have? He should have those shoes that are like feet.
Oh my god, I have those
feet gloves.
I have two pairs of those.
You serious?
Because I used to wear them for my old job.
You had one pair and you're like, that's not enough.
Nah, I had to have two. Wow. They're gross. They're awful. Okay, so he's a tank.
Yep.
And he feels like he has a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, so what was sick on the Seagull stream is that they're testing him out, and he had 70,000 people watching this.
Holy crap.
And then they pass him a note that's like, hey, do you want people to play with? I think it was kind of like a, you know, they staged it.
Yeah.
Because we could put him live now. And then Seagull goes, what do you think, chat? And everyone starts flooding. And, of course, they hit the button as they're streaming. So I hop right on, tried to stream snipe Seagull, didn't work out. But, yeah, so now you can play him. And he's got, like, his regular attack is, like, these two floating projectile bouncy balls that can go off walls and stuff and explode.
Okay. And so each of those does 60 health, and he shoots three of them at a time.
Two at a time. Yeah.
Does he?
Boom, boom. Yeah, he has just two.
Okay, so, well, even still, like, he can take out the squishier characters in one hit.
Yeah, if he...
He can one hit, like, Tracer, Ana, or...
So, he has a lot of weird mechanics. So, he's kind of a high skill in that because the direct damage and then hitting people at the explosion range does different amounts. And, like, bouncing off walls and around things gives you different... And he can harm himself, too.
I can't wait to see just video compilations of trick shots.
Yeah.
I was already watching somebody who was, like, experimenting with it, and he's getting them off walls. He's, like, he was just messing around in, like, the training facility, and he's, like, shooting the back wall, and then he hits somebody that he can't see. He just threw the doorway. So I feel like he's going to be high skill, but once you hit that high skill, like, he's too much.
Yeah.
He has too much going for him. He's got 120 damage from each shot.
He's got a stun. Basically,
he has a stun that lasts as long as Reinhardt's ult.
That's another thing. It's at range. So he basically lifts ground up like an earthbender and hits you with a giant
ball
of
debris.
Ground. Yeah. And if you do it really close, the stun lasts like a quarter of a second. You know, you're down and you're back up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hit someone from long distance,
that's what I was
they
watching.
Stay down for a full second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has a really long one. He's got the Reinhardt shield, except that he can put it wherever he wants. So he's got like a mix of Reinhardt and Orisa.
A mix of Reinhardt, Orisa, and remember when Symmetra had a shield? Like,
yeah,
the protective barrier?
Hers would like continue to move. It didn't stop anywhere.
It moves in that same way, though. When you shoot it out, and then when you let go of the button, it stops.
It stops.
Yeah.
So like, I was watching somebody that was using it to stop a Widow who was sniping from the top, and he just threw his shield out in front of her, and there's nothing she can do.
So the next ability that she has, this is going to get nerfed based, I believe, on
the absorption.
What? Yeah. So
yes.
Jeff Kaplan was saying, basically, he can generate shields for people nearby with this absorb shield thing.
He can give the shields to other people, too. I thought it was just himself.
I thought it was people around him. Maybe. Maybe I could be incorrect on that.
It's got to be just himself.
I haven't played him
crazy.
In a team game yet. I've only played with him, like,
in the training facility.
Yeah, in the training facility. So he... Anyways, Jeff Kaplan said straight up he cannot absorb ults. So it's not going to be like Defense Matrix where...
But I was watching a video where people were absorbing ults.
And then as soon as we log on, people are like, Daddy Jeff lied to us because he for sure is absorbing ultimates.
So his absorption, somebody tested it. He can survive a full nanoed Roadhog ult. The whole thing. He can take the whole thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't absorb it. Yeah, he doesn't absorb it. But no, without the shield, just the absorption, he absorbs enough of it that he can just take the rest of the hits and not die.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And his ult is really strong, too. He basically, it's like a mix of, like, Doomfist and Mercy to where he lifts up everybody in an entire area, and then he could fly at this point just wherever the hell he wants and shoot things, and then they all crash down, and it does, like, 200 damage.
It's ridiculous. You have to watch the video of this guy. I don't understand. He is going to wreck people.
Yeah.
He's just going to destroy everyone.
And he's obsessed with music, so his voice lines are so over the top. He fits perfectly into Overwatch. He just says, "The beautiful sounds. What is that music?"
I hate it. Oh, yeah, because every time he does his ult, that music plays.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I'm stoked for this character. It sucks because, you know, right now if you play him on the PTR, it's just no limits, so everybody chooses him and maybe like one Bastion. So you don't get a real test of what he's going to be like. And if you try and roll queue right now for tank, you're going to be waiting for 30 or 40 minutes before you find a match. So you can really play with him just in the practice facility and in no limits, but it's good mechanical tests.
Yeah.
But we'll see what he ends up doing to the meta very soon.
I haven't been on Overwatch in so long that I haven't even played Baptiste.
I haven't played Baptiste.
He's so fun.
Trying to think of the...
Who was before him?
Ash?
Okay, I played Ash. Because she was BlizzCon. She was BlizzCon. Yeah. So I have played Ash.
I played Ash.
Ash here.
All right, what's next?
QuakeCon?
Oh, QuakeCon is going on.
Okay.
Slowly we'll kind of be getting some news about that. Hopefully we'll be seeing some stuff from Doom Eternal, and other things like that. What I'm super excited about right now, and I wanted to make sure we talk about this because I sing the praises of these games every chance I get. Bethesda's having a huge sale on Steam right now. This is 100% a non-sponsored advertisement. I am advertising this because you need to go out and buy this. You can get basically all their best games for super cheap right now. Like Dishonored is $2.
Wow.
Go buy it. Prey is $6. I think you can get the Digital Deluxe Edition for $8.
That's too much.
You can get the entire bundle of Dishonored, Dishonored 2, Dishonored Death of the Outsider for like $12. Oh my God, go buy these games. People, yeah. I've been streaming Prey, and so people kept coming into my stream because I think because they're on sale, people are getting kind of interested in it. And then so they're watching streams, and they're like, I've had a dozen people come in and be like, hey, this is on sale. Should I get this? Like, would you recommend it? And every time I like stop what I'm doing, I'm like, yes, get off this stream. Go buy the game. Go play. It's so good.
What platform? Is it just on Steam?
It's on sale on Steam right now, and I think that's the only one because it was on sale. Prey was on sale on PlayStation last month. Okay. So I think it's just Steam right now.
Okay.
Have any of you guys played any of those?
No.
You're all bad people.
I've played Doom. Nope. Like, and I've played, you know, their RPGs, but I've never played any of the Dishonored, Prey, or even Wolfenstein.
Curtis, are you like into stealth kind of games?
Not like I used to be, but the very first game anybody shared with me was I was in fourth grade, and I don't know how, but I talked to my bus driver Dave, and I told him something about playing this ninja game on my grandfather's laptop, and he was like, "Oh, you like computer video games too?" Because I had a Game Boy, he saw I had it, and I was like, "Yeah, you know, they're fun." He's like, "All right, I'm going to bring you something tomorrow." So the next day, he brought a red floppy, but the, like, you know, the smaller ones, not like the OG, the floppies that were actually floppies. He brought it, and he said, "This game is called Wolfenstein.
Go home
and play it. Let me know what you think." Oh, my gosh, I was hooked. That's what got me into Doom and all those other ones. So I played the OG Wolfenstein, and my bus driver gave it to me.
That's crazy.
Wolfenstein's on sale too. New Order is like $8. I think New Colossus is the most expensive one in the sale. It's like $20.
Oh my God, that's too much.
Go get those games just in time for Youngblood to come out. Have you played the new Wolfenstein games, Curtis?
I haven't played any of the new ones. Actually, I have not played Wolfenstein since the first one.
New Order is the one that came out more recently, and it's like a total reboot.
Oh, nice.
So you can just jump right into New Order, and it is, let me look, it's $7 right now on Steam if you want to go buy that.
Yeah, I could do that.
This is the ad part of this podcast where I'm just telling everybody to go buy these games.
Yeah, no, $7 like for a throwback, especially like one of the first game that was ever shared with me. I could do that. And it'll give me something different to play on stream. So that's a good look. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's actually my next stream game that I'm going to do.
Oh, well,
I'm about
there
to
you
start
go.
That one.
Perfect
Let's
timing.
It.
Let's do it.
Sure. And I think, oh, we do have an itty bitty bit of Cyberpunk news.
Oh, what
not
we got?
Much. We get like little nuggets here and there.
More
I feel
Keanu?
Like at this point, no. But they did talk about every Cyberpunk 2077 player gets the same in-game content regardless of when you buy the game. So if you pre-order it, if you buy it on release day, if you buy it 2 years from release day, you will get the same content that every single other person playing the game has.
Well, I like that. That's good.
That's kind of big news, though.
Yes, it is.
In the world of microtransactions, loot boxes, you know, you get special things for pre-ordering, you get the special edition, you get all this, you know, all this extra stuff that honestly like doesn't make or break. And a lot of the extra weapons that you get, you outgrow them in 2 or 3 levels anyway. Like,
yeah.
And the fact that they're coming out and be like, nah, you get everything. Like, same thing across the board. That's cool. I like that.
These guys just hit the sweet spot of like delivering on what their fans want.
Yeah.
They're 100%. Like the golden company right now. They got Witcher, obviously.
Witcher, yep.
Which did the same thing.
Yeah.
Witcher had a bunch of different DLCs that were all free. I think the only things you had to pay for were like the massive expansions. But they had a bunch of like in-game content DLC that was free to every player.
It's going
to
be so sad when this company gets bought out by one of the big ones and has to go back and ruin everything.
I mean, they've been... they're technically... Would you call them indie? They're technically still...
See, I don't know what you would define as indie.
See, because I've heard them. They're not affiliated with any, like, really big...
Like PlayStation,
Yeah,
Sony,
they're not affiliated.
Technically,
but at what point do you become one of the big ones?
That's true.
That's a good point.
Is it sales? Is it, you know, profit?
Once you get a successful Netflix TV show.
Yeah, well...
that's valid.
Witcher trailer looked good, so...
I saw online they are going... They promised a bathtub scene.
Of course they did.
They have
of
to.
Of course they did.
They're like, we're not going to tell you who. But if it's not Superman, there's going to be riots in the streets if they don't... And then they got to have sex on a unicorn. That's the other thing they need to do.
These games are so weird.
Yeah, the
game's
wild.
So weird. Cyberpunk 2077 promises to be just as weird. I'm really excited, though. That
day
like,
one by? Are we
absolutely?
All
yeah. Absolutely.
Has to be.
I want the like big deluxe edition with the statue and everything, but I don't have
It'll
money.
Only
so
break your heart.
I know.
Statue is a very loose term when it comes to collectors.
Yeah,
editions.
No, I know. Because I have the
Arkham Knight statue.
Yeah, my Arkham Knight statue, which is just a hunk of plastic that doesn't even move or articulate.
Yeah, I had the Just Cause 3 one. Because it was, like, super on sale. Like, I bought it years down the road. But I had the Just Cause 3 one with, like, the grapple or whatever, and it was crap. I think I just threw it out a couple weeks ago.
Have you ever actually gotten a collector's edition that fully fulfilled everything you wanted it
yes.
to be? Which one?
Halo 3. Well, no, that's a lie. Halo 3 fulfilled everything except that I wanted the helmet to be wearable.
Yeah, no, it was like a cat helmet, right?
It was like a... Like, it's life-size, but it was a game case.
Oh.
So
yeah,
it was only, like solid, the opening yeah. was just for games. And then one of the Call of Duties had night vision goggles. Those were cool because they actually worked. I still have those to this day. Halo 5 Guardians.
Just Emma walking around her neighborhood at night.
Not even my neighborhood, just my house.
Just house.
And night vision goggles are hard because they mess with your desk position. So everything looks, I can't remember if it's everything looks closer, everything looks further away. But I was like bumping into walls in my house. But I was like, I can see in the dark. It's great.
Curtis, has anyone ever gotten you to shill out for a big collector's edition?
Yeah, I got the, man, actually, if you think about the success of the game, this is probably one of the worst ones. I got the Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite pack.
Oh, with the Infinity Stones?
Yeah.
The Infinity Plastics?
No, the Easter eggs?
Yeah. Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, I mean, so for me, it was hell yeah. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, because it was, bro, I got the Infinity Stones, bro. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I love Thanos, man.
Yeah,
like, I got
okay.
the Infinity Stones. And. Which what I didn't know is that there's a trap in the back, so you put batteries in it and they light up when you
when you
pop the box open. Actually, we have an unboxing video on the Capeless Crusaders, my old comic book podcast.
Yeah,
we got
yeah.
an unboxing video, and I still have the statues. I said I was gonna sell them and like to try to get some of the money back, but that game got so bad, don't nobody want none of
yeah.
them. So.
I got that. I understand where you're coming from though, because I was on that stupid Wish app the other day.
Uh-huh.
And,
don't
buy
anything from Wish.
I almost bought Dragon Balls.
No.
Like, they had 7 Dragon Balls, and I know, I was reading the reviews, and they were all like, yeah, you know, they don't work, you know, and I was like.
Of course they don't. Of course they don't.
I bought something from Wish on June 21st. I still don't have it.
They are stealing your credit card information.
No, I've been watching my transaction. I've been watching it. Ever since you said to watch it, I've been watching it.
Yeah.
I still
yeah.
don't have it, though.
Just a throw it out there, a little micro version of what you're playing, because I know Curtis was interested in the game. Have you picked up Ultimate Alliance 3 yet?
Nah, brother.
Oh, not yet. You got to get it, man. We got to play that. It's super fun.
I want to. I got to. Well, I said it on the last on the last episode. I all my medical bills from being sick piled up, so I wasn't able to get it. Oh. And it might be a minute, too, so like before I can get it.
So, like, the one valid reason not to have it.
Yeah.
Brilliant that they put it out during Comic-Con, first of all, because you got all this nostalgia and your hype on all these things.
Yep.
So anytime a new character pops up, you legitimately get excited. They did such a good job keeping, like, I haven't even played it on the dock yet. I'm just playing it mobile.
Handheld.
Uh-huh. And just, you forget how much freedom you get in these games when it comes to just throwing in whatever villains they want. You can put together any squad. So right now I'm running Luke Cage.
Uh-huh.
I got Venom on my team.
Yeah.
Miles Morales and Star-Lord.
Dope.
Are like my four.
That's tight.
And the cinematics are actually better than any other of the Ultimate Alliances.
Yep.
The one thing they did screw us out on is the trivia games.
Okay. They didn't put those in there.
Yeah. But they threw some weird characters in there too. Like her name's Crystal, I think.
Crystal?
From the Inhumans.
Crystal from the Inhumans, or Crystal, that was with, I don't really know the Inhumans, nobody really knows the Inhumans that well. I know Medusa, I know Black Bolt, and that's in their dog, and I don't, and
Lockjaw?
That's pretty much it, Lockjaw, that's much all I know.
It feels like they just threw that character in there.
I did just picture Crystal in my mind, I know the character.
They put her in there just to give Lockjaw purpose, it felt like, because she's basically his handler.
That's cool.
And that's how they do, like, a lot of, oh, now this guy's here.
Now
you're over there, you know.
I like that they did that. I mean, like,
yeah, that's cool.
The what you call it games do that, too, like the Lego Marvel games, they always will throw in, like, the most, like, random character, and you're like, I can't believe you put them in there. So for the people that are really into that character, I think it's great that they go that far, because, I mean, there's so many people that don't even know who that is. They could easily justify not putting in the man hours to bring them into the game. So the fact that they do, pretty incredible.
Emma has been, like, you know, pretty laissez-faire about this, because you don't have a Nintendo and you don't plan on ever getting one.
Yeah, no, I don't have a Switch. I watched the trailer for it, and I was like, this looks like a mobile game.
But just because it looks like a mobile game doesn't mean it can't be fun.
I mean, it could be fun, but at that point, I'm like, you could have spent more time. You could have put more money into the graphics. And it's like, obviously, having not hyper-realistic graphics does not make a bad game.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a line for me between, like, stylism and this just looks like a mobile game. Like, it looks like you have a mobile game graphics budget.
But what if a game makes you feel like you're Spider-Man?
I already have that game, and it's called Spider-Man.
Did you actually see the news story that came out? That surpassed Batman Arkham Knight as the number one superhero
game.
Did
it really?
Yeah, that's the number one.
You know what?
I
love
game.
Arkham Knight, but that, I would say that's like well
Batman.
Deserved.
Yeah. I didn't feel like that's Batman in Arkham Knight. I felt like Spider-Man in Spider-Man.
I felt like Batman in Arkham City.
Arkham City, yeah.
Yeah, Arkham City was the jam. Yeah.
I loved Arkham City. But we're getting off topic. But I wanted the Batmobile because the Arkham City map is huge.
Yeah.
And getting from point A to point B without fast travel or without, like, a means of transportation was really annoying.
Yeah, but they gave you fast travel in Spider-Man, and those cutscenes felt like they were lagging forever. I don't know.
Not on the PS5.
Yeah. We can't all.
Actually, no, that is. I have a PS4 Pro, and I didn't feel like. I was never sitting in the loading screens for very long.
Yeah.
Mine was a few seconds. The ironic thing about it surpassing Arkham Knight is the fighting style is basically the same thing.
It is exactly the same.
It's a cut and paste with Spider-Man.
And it's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
that just style of sandbox lends itself to heroes. Like, another game super underrated was the Hulk Smash game or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was. But it was basically Arkham Knight. Way before that with the Incredible Hulk, and you're just leaping bounds over buildings and destroying everything in your sight. Ultimate Destruction, that's what it was called.
I know we didn't talk about. Did you guys see the leaked game footage from the Avengers game?
No.
What is wrong with all three of you?
Focus,
it's like
focus.
You don't even have a video game podcast.
I intentionally didn't watch it because when I saw what they showed us, it took my joy and my excitement completely away once I saw the trailer.
Before we get into
the cinematic
footage,
trailer?
Let's expand on what Curtis just said, because look, they got good graphics, but that looks disastrous.
Yeah,
it looks like
sure.
Walmart versions of all the Avengers. I'd rather have cartoony, kind of more compressed that look like the characters.
Oh, you're freaked out because they don't look like the actors.
Well, no, they don't look like people. They look like random generated bot people. They look scary.
Yeah, I mean, I read comics where, like, even now, constantly, they don't always use, like, the likeness of the actors in the comics. So I'm used to the heroes having a different likeness and face. It's not that they don't look like the actors. It's just I don't like how they look. I literally feel like either A, they didn't pick good models to model them after, or B, like, if they did do it from scratch, they just didn't make good decisions. But not only how the faces look, like, literally the overall graphics, even though it's higher definition and all
really?
That stuff, I don't like the aesthetic.
So, I didn't get that. I'll have to watch it again.
I mean, which is cool. I mean, we don't.
Yeah,
it can look different.
No,
for everybody.
I
want to
watch
cool.
it again, like, hearing you say that, so mm-hmm. I can look for that.
For sure.
But so they showed gameplay of each Avenger. So basically, there was in a panel hall somewhere. I don't know if HD video of it has come out yet. It was literally like shaky cell phone video of okay. people just recording whatever was on the screen. Mm-hmm. And it looks, I thought it looked fine. Like it, I really, my favorite thing about it was the ground combat for Iron Man. His ground combat was really, really cool. His flight combat was not great for me because whoever was playing it didn't go really anywhere. Like they stayed very close to the ground. They were just hitting enemies. They didn't kind of explore. So I don't know if it's a matter of you can't do that or for the purpose of the demo, they were just trying to get from point A to point B. But I mean, it looked fine.
So was it like, compare it to another game? Is this like,
compared
person?
To Spider-Man, the combat was not, it was, not did not part. Look like that.
Oh, see, well then, but it's supposed to be multiplayer, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, there's a game already out that is fantastic. It's called Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. And all
you
gotta
do.
You
can only play if you have a Nintendo Switch.
And they're only gonna be $200.
I'm not spending $200.
$200.
I'm not spending $260 on Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
If it makes you feel like Jessica Jones.
I don't care.
If it makes you feel
like
Black Widow.
Why would I want to feel like Black Widow?
Well, it's not the movie version like we said before.
Underutilized and over-sexualized?
No.
No, thank you.
This is. Okay. We're going there. I'm not a Twitter bot that you could just.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Yeah, you are.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah. Well,
I think that's most of what we had on the yeah. notes for today.
Are we going to the corner? Are we going to the?
Are we going to the comic book corner?
The Kurt comic corner?
Why not?
We got a little Kurt comic corner.
Everybody gathering around.
All right,
let's gather around the
He's
fire.
He's going to tell us a story.
Crisscross applesauce.
Bunny ears.
Tell you a story. Bunny ears. I'll pass this along just Ooh. So. I mean, y'all could crack it open and take a look. I would advise actually not looking inside of it if you care to read about this story. I mean. I really wanted to pass it so the camera could see it a little bit better, see
camera,
the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as you guys know, most of the time, if this is your first time watching, welcome. This is a segment where we take a comic book that Oblivion Comics and Coffee, who is right downtown, right across the street from the cathedral. Neil and Jason and Laura are so gracious enough to provide us with comic books to review for you guys and give our impressions. Most of the time when we do this, I'm advising everybody to pop it open and take a look at the art and everything. So if this is a case where I'm not, that means that this is a special event. I feel like the X-Men are one of the most beloved groups and teams in comics, period.
Oh, yeah.
They have a storied history, obviously created by King Kirby. I love to call him King Kirby because Jack Kirby doesn't get enough credit. And then Stan Lee, you know, may their souls rest in peace. And this is these are like their legacy. They, you know, Fantastic Four, X-Men, for Stan Lee, Spider-Man, of course. And everybody fell in love with these guys from about the mid-70s when Chris Claremont took over and he had an unprecedented 30-year run. You never hear about writers anymore having these days more than a 2-year run on comics, and that's only if you do once a month. What's that, 24 comics?
Yeah.
So think about 30 years worth of comics, right? And that's when most of us fell in love, and then we get the cartoon,
the animated
right.
series
that everybody loved.
In the year 2000, we started getting films.
Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna keep it in the 90s for it. Well, I'm gonna keep it in the early 90s for a second before we go to the films. Jim Lee and Chris Claremont, X-Men number one when they rebooted it, highest selling comic of all time ever, 8 million copies.
Holy crap.
These days, comic books struggle to sell 30,000 copies.
Yeah.
And that's like a known brand. The X-Men had, Chris Claremont, they, you know, finally got off, and the X-Men fell all the way out of favor. Now let's go to the fact when the movies come out. So that kind of keeps them hot a little bit. People are interested in the movies. Oh, that's great. You know, we got Famke Janssen as Jean Grey, and James Marsden as Cyclops, and of course everybody knows one of the few people that really embodied the character, Hugh Jackman, as Logan, as Wolverine. Mm-hmm. So we have those impressions in our mind, but while that was going on, the X-Men themselves, the comics, were taking a beating. They couldn't find good writers to keep it interesting. I think the only other writer that came along, and this was this 2011-ish, was Grant Morrison. And he's like a crazy psychedelic.
I love him.
Well, yeah, because you like All-Star Batman and Robin, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So that's probably one of his more tamed stories. And don't get me
really?
Wrong.
Really? Because people hated that.
Well, there's a reason why they did. But I also know why people enjoy it. But Grant Morrison, he's a very far out there writer. But what's great about him is as wacky and weird and out there as he gets, he always does these crazy things like find the most minute, only showed up one character one issue at a time, one page, one panel, and he will make them relevant in the current continuity. So he really has a passion for it. But since then, same thing. X-Men returned to like nothing. People weren't buying it. I went from having them being one of my most beloved brands ever to like I literally didn't care about the X-Men. I didn't care about the X-Men until about 55 minutes ago.
When you read this comic?
When I read that comic. Wow. Now, Jonathan Hickman is my favorite writer in comics. But these characters have been mishandled so much that I literally tweeted him a doubt tweet. I was like, hey, bro, you're my favorite. I enjoy you. But I'll be honest. I'm like, I've lost a little bit of faith, and I don't know about the creative team around you either. And weird, Jerry Duggan, who is, like, I didn't even at him or nothing. Jerry Duggan, who is also a Marvel writer, like, liked my comment.
I agree.
Which is so weird. but what's funny, I think he's writing one of the things that are going to spin off of this. So I said all that whole soliloquy to get here to say this. I read this comic. It was so dense. I read it earlier today. I got halfway through. I put it down. I started getting ready for the show. I had to get the gear together. I come. And then I say, what's up to you? I go and I sit down because I got to read the rest of it to review it here. And all I can tell you is after I was done, I looked at the last page and I put the book down in my lap and I just looked straight for about 90 seconds and I didn't say a word. My mind was literally blown. This puts the X-Men in a space and in a place they have never been before. And I'm one of those rare people, I don't like House of M. Like, okay, everybody loves House of M. I don't like House of M. I like the idea of House of M, and I do ultimately kind of like the result of it and the idea of it, but y'all know me. I kind of can't stand Brian Michael Bendis, and the writing was whack, but the idea was good. And remember, he reduced the number of mutants. Remember?
Yeah, true.
Massively.
Yep. No more mutants.
So it's funny, as much as everybody loves that story, Brian Michael Bendis crippled forget the X-Men, he crippled all mutants. He literally, like, lightweight wiped them off the map dang near.
Yeah.
This put them back in a position of power. Power. These are supposed to be the evolution of humankind, these mutants. It's supposed to be better than us. It's supposed to be the next level. And Jonathan Hickman put them back in their right place. I would tell everybody to go buy this at your local comic shop, but what you'll have to do is call and get on a waiting list. They're already doing a second print, and the comic came out today.
Wow.
Jeez.
So how many, in perspective, you were saying, like, you know, the first one sold, like, 8 million copies. And
That was a reboot.
And you said they struggle, like, today to sell 30? What does that mean this sold, like, roughly?
I mean, we don't even know. It's day one.
Wow.
We don't know yet.
Whatever they printed.
So
yeah.
So, okay, follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. Do you have to be caught up on the current X-Men line to read this?
Not at all, because
no?
I wasn't.
Okay, because you
remember,
weren't, that's true. Yeah, yeah,
I didn't
yeah,
even care.
Okay.
I ain't read an X-Men comic easily in years. Oh, well, excuse me, with the exception of, and this is the problem with the comic book industry, everybody keeps going back and buying the old comics because people don't like the new ones.
Right.
Literally, Dan Didio, who is a co-publisher with Jim Lee of DC, got up and did a panel and was pissed off at the industry because people aren't enjoying the new comics as much, but they're buying the old ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But with this, House of X, Jonathan Hickman, that's not going to happen for X-Men.
All right.
All right, follow-up question. Who is the guy that's leading them right now?
Professor Xavier.
That's Professor Xavier?
Yeah.
Walking?
What? He's walking?
Yeah. So, and you know
how... Hashtag not my Xavier.
You want the big yellow chair.
So, and what's funny is... And same thing with Professor Xavier. He's been disrespected so much. I think they've killed him, like Professor Xavier, more times than they've killed anybody else within the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
But check this out, though. He's not even in that. It's the first issue. He's not even in it. And I love it because all they do is talk about him. And it's weird because... You know the ideology, or excuse me, the idea behind Magneto and Professor X. Yeah. Professor X is supposed to be a representative of Charles Xavier is basically a version of Martin Luther King Jr. And Magneto is a version of Malcolm X.
Right.
Before he got rid of all that racist stuff he was saying, or after he got rid of all that racist stuff he was saying, he was like, we all need to come together like brothers and sisters. Charles Xavier and Magneto are both Malcolm X now.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting that it's Malcolm X.
Yeah. Snap.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell everybody right now who's interested, y'all ain't ready for that, but you better get ready.
All right. I'm hooked.
All right. Well, that is our show, everybody. Thank you guys for watching and thank you guys for listening. If you guys are watching the podcast and you want to hear us again or catch up on archives, just check us out anywhere podcasts are found on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, other ones.
Pandora.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Audio Boom. Yeah.
Audio
over.
Sound. If you are listening to the podcast, this is your first time watching us, or you're not even watching us, you're just listening to us right now, you can check us out on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. We do a live show every Wednesday and Friday, and usually we interact with chat a little bit and talk to
Wednesday
them.
Wednesday and Saturday,
that's what I said, Emma. We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post. I got you.
You hear Corey's voice.
Every Wednesday and Saturday.
Emma, what is your stream schedule?
I made that joke 3 times and it never gets old. That's a good question. I will probably be here at the State Fair tomorrow, today when this episode is out. So catch me in the afternoon streaming from the California State Fair.
Twitch.tv/EmmaSkies.
/EmmaSkies.
There you go. I forgot you on the plug.
That's moving on.
Moving on, Corey, Bachelorette is on. You streaming?
Yeah, I've been streaming a little bit more. Actually, yesterday I was hanging out with the film Lossifers. So if you check out their podcast, you can find it anywhere. You can find it on our website, bgbstudios.com. All the same places you find ours, just look up Film Lossifers. And they had me back, and we talked about the movie yesterday, the Beatles movie.
It's a good movie.
I want to see that so bad.
It was so good. And it's no spoilers, and it was a really good time, just kicking it, hanging out with the boys. I haven't hung out with them in a minute, so they're good guys.
Curtis, streaming.
Most likely tonight.
Yeah?
When I get home, yeah. Going to do a little bit. I'll be streaming tonight on the Sacktown Breakdown channel, so y'all can find me on the Sacktown Breakdown. And I pretty much, like, create and do my content live on there. So the video that eventually y'all see on YouTube, I'm going to do live on there. So y'all see me maybe restarting a few times. I do everything in one take. I've edited so much in my life. I hate post editing.
When I did YouTube videos, as few takes as I could do, like maybe at most I'd settle on 2 takes.
Yep.
And then just like clip, push, done.
Right.
But otherwise,
I gotta
just
send
restart.
You a screenshot of the last video that I edited. It's just 9,000 cuts. And I wanted to die. Geez. I was like, I hate this.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching. For Emma Skies, Corey Vincent, Curtis Fisher, I am the real David Webb saying see you next time. Yeah.